Sunday program. Any first timers here? No. You're all veterans. See you later. Maybe in about 5 years now. Imagine what it was like being with Krishna, because children's activities are everyone, the kirtan is going on and everyone's paying attention to the little boy because he's so attractive. What to speak of Krishna, the all-attractive. What was that like? So the topic for this evening is part of a series. And the topic is Pada Sevanam. And the topic is taken from Prahlad Maharaj, who answered a question that his father asked him. What's the best thing that you've learned? Now, his father said in school, but apparently Prahlad didn't hear the in school part, just the best thing that you've learned. And he started describing devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu! Just so happens that Vishnu was the enemy, or he was seen as by Hiranyakashipu as the enemy. Like Kamsa saw Krishna as an enemy to be killed. Why? Because Hiranyakashipu had an elder brother who was responsible for the earth planet falling out of its orbit, according to the Bhagavatam, because Hiranyaksha was too much obsessed with gold. Prabhupada describes that he dug a tunnel through the earth to go on the other side of the earth, and even says maybe it was Brazil. Got gold and took the gold from that place and put them over in this place to build the nice palace for Hiranyakashipu, his younger brother. Because Hiranyakashipu really liked the Hiranya brothers. Hiranya means gold. They like gold. And it took the earth planet and in a lopsided condition out of its orbit and fell down at the Garbhadak Ocean. So Lord Varaha went down to rescue the earth planet. And on his way up, there was Hiranyaksha with his club. And they had a little match. And guess who won? With the hoof of not his right, but his left hand. He hit Hiranyaksha on the side of the head. And that was the end of Hiranyaksha. That was after some back and forth. And so at the funeral ceremony of his elder brother, along with Diti and all of the other Daityas, the descendants of Diti, he spoke transcendental knowledge. Did you know that? Hiranyakashipu knew about the soul being different than matter, there's no cause for lamentation because the soul is eternal. He had Brahma again. Hiranyakashipu had Brahma again. So he had some merit, but he had some duskriti also. That was his problem. He had some animosity towards the Supreme Person. So, although it's really dumb, he knew that the soul was eternal and the soul can't be destroyed. He knew that the supreme soul was Lord Vishnu, who means he can't be destroyed. I declare him as my enemy. I will destroy him. What does that sound like? You like bang your head against a wall. I'm going to destroy this wall. It's going to destroy his head. So from that time, Vishnu is the enemy. And so when his son, who was supposed to follow the footprints of his father and become, you know, Daitya Jr., Hiranyakashipu Jr., he's saying that Lord Vishnu is to be heard about and remembered, Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu. He was a demon. It wasn't like an ordinary. He didn't like it. He was, where did you learn this? Sanda and Amarka, come here at once. You're polluting my son. You're teaching him to worship my enemy, Vishnu. He didn't like it at all. So from that verse, the other additional 7 processes, 9 in total, are presented from in the Bhagavatam by Prahlad Maharaj. So hearing is the beginning process. From hearing, then vibrating that which you have heard. That's easy. La 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 la. Then you, la la. So your voice lessons are like that. So spiritual sounds are learned in the same way. You hear, and then you vibrate. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna. It's like very simple. And then the whole Vedic process one learns by Shravanam Kirtanam. Shravanam Kirtanam. Shravanam Kirtanam. And then in course of time, it's not, Smaranam doesn't mean from memory I'm going to say the Hare Krishna mantra. Or I'll say the sounds that I heard representing the Vedas, like take a verse that the kids are learning in Sunday school. What verses are you learning in Sunday school these days?
We're reading the Bhagavad Gita.
Huh?
We're reading the Bhagavad Gita.
One of the younger children, looking in the back row there and see if any one of the younger children want to recite a verse from Bhagavad Gita. Sarvadharmam prityaja mamekam sharanam braja. You know the verse? Can you say it? You look petrified. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Aham tvam. I definitely petrified her. She probably will say it in her sleep tonight. But so there's you hear and you chant and you hear and you chant. There's one kind of remembrance that's memorization, recitation. There's another kind of remembrance that my understanding is the remembrance is that which we have forgotten. We already know, but we've forgotten. We've forgotten because we're covered by you know what? The illusory energy, Maya. Covered by Maya. Covered by Maya, we forget what we already know. I'll share this with some of you that may not have heard it. The first time that Prabhupada spoke in a public forum in America, besides the storefront at 26 Second Avenue, out into the public at Tompkins Square Park, nice little story, I'll tell the whole. The devotees would regularly come together. This was my experience also. And kirtan. And maybe you've seen the videos, or not video, then there was film, Super 8 films. Films of the devotees singing, and then some would get up and dance spontaneously, and sing and dance, and it would go on for an hour and a half. Prabhupada, imagine, in Prabhupada's presence, just singing and dancing for an hour and a half. You'd give your right arm for that, right? Some devotees just like off the street singing and dancing for an hour and a half. And then once they were fully spiritualized, then Prabhupada would speak something from Bhagavad Gita. And then some question answer, and then of course prasadam. And the devotees really liked kirtan. Anybody likes kirtan, it's nice. So the temple president at the time was Brahmananda. And Brahmananda asked, Prabhupada, is it all right if we take the chanting and go in the public and chant? A little bit like, you know, the kirtan at Srivasanga. And then they said, hey, let's go out into the marketplace. So Prabhupada said, yes, very good. But we would need a permit because we don't want to break the law. So can you get a permit to do this? Oh, yes, we'll get a permit. I know the perfect place, Tompkins Square Park. I'll get a permit from the Parks Department. So they got a permit from the Parks Department. And then in line, Nagar Sankirtan, they went from 22nd Avenue to Tompkins Square Park, and they sat under that oak tree. He's got a little plaque put there by the city of New York now, where Prabhupada began chanting. And he chanted for 2 hours. First time, publicly, just chanting. They didn't stop. They just chanted. And the crowd came, and the devotees were dancing, and nobody saw anything like this before. One very small-statured, elderly gentleman with robes and shaved head and playing kartals, and others were do whatever instruments they had, they played. And then there's a very famous photograph from the East Village Other with Prabhupada standing under the oak tree, and there's a church building in the background. Prabhupada stood very sternly, very soberly, looked around, and then he spoke. And the silence of wondering, what's he going to say? And he said, I've not come to teach you something new. I've come to remind you of that which you have forgotten. Cool, huh? I mean, really profound. Because that's exactly what he came to give. The soul already has an eternal relationship with God, a relationship of love. It's already there. It's just dormant. And through sound vibration, that dormant love awakens. It's like a seed germinates with water and put it in some soil, some medium for growth, and it'll sprout. The soul awakens to that which it has forgotten by spiritual sound. There's the sound of mantra, and there's the sound of descriptions of Krishna, there's the sound of what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. That sound vibration, that's the Shravanam, and then Kirtanam, and then Vishnu Smaranam. It's remembering what we've forgotten. So those are the three that you've covered already. And then comes Pada Sevanam. It's what you do as the fruit of remembrance. Smaranam. So I want to read a couple of things that Prabhupada has written about Pada Sevanam. Maybe first a visual image. Two visual images. One is Lakshmi and Narayana. Lakshmi is expressing that form of devotional service, Pada Sevanam, because she's always at the feet of Narayana. massaging the lotus feet of Narayana, worshipping the lotus feet of Narayana. She's always at the feet of Narayana, worshipping her Lord and Master. And it's not occasionally. This is her position. She is the Shakti, the spiritual potency of the spiritual potent. This is what the goddess of fortune does. Padasevanam. So she doesn't attain perfection by that. She is perfect, and she exhibits that to perfection. And we can also practice that following the example that she sets. So you can think of that visual image of Lakshmi at the feet of Narayan, or Rama Devi at the feet of Lord Vishnu. Same. Worshipping the lotus feet in a reverential mood. And another image you can think of, there's a number of them, but one of them is the deity form of the Lord. Because it's said, when approaching the deity form of the Lord, before you begin worship, you approach the lotus feet of the Lord. Before you approach the lotus feet of the Lord, you approach the spiritual master with permission to approach the deity form of the Lord. With that permission, you approach the lotus feet of the deity. Padasevanam. Then comes Archanam. Next. That's next week. Deity worship. Padasevanam. So it's a direct expression of service which follows remembrance. You want to do something. But so where you begin is in a humble mood, you approach the lotus feet of the Lord. So keeping those two visual images in your mind, here's something that Prabhupada writes in the purport of that Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandhanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. That verse where Prahlad speaks of the nine processes of bhakti, Prabhupada writes, Padasevanam means engaging oneself in serving the lotus feet of the Lord according to the time and circumstances. So it's not just you have to become the goddess of fortune. Good luck, because it's not going to happen. Or it's exclusive to the worship of the deity. If you don't have a deity in your home, tough luck, it's not going to happen. That's not it. According to time and circumstances, serving the lotus feet of the Lord. So for a moment I'm going to go to another verse, a teaching of Rupa Goswami, where Rupa Goswami is describing, or he's defining, what is renunciation. And there's two parts, what renunciation is and what renunciation isn't. And what renunciation is, it begins, anasaktasya vishayan yatarham upayunjitaha nirbandha krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagya. Vairagya means detachment. Uchite, it is said that vairagya, or detachment, renunciation, is yatarham, means according to suitability. So the first part is anasaktasya vishayan, without being attached to sense enjoyment. Vishaya means sense enjoyment. Asakti means attached. Anasaktakti is without attachment. Without any attachment to sense gratification, yatarham, according to suitability, upayunjita, you do service. Sounds exactly like what Prabhupada is taking as a definition of padasevanam. engaging oneself in serving the lotus feet of the Lord according to the time and circumstance. So, according to suitability can mean a number of things. It can mean time and circumstance. It can also mean according to your capacity, suitability. So let's say, what's suitable for me? I'm in the renounced order of life, a sannyasi. It wouldn't be suitable for me to go get a job. And it wouldn't be suitable for you as we're householders to not have a job. Oh, Krishna will maintain my family, my kids, and pay the mortgage. I'm just going to serve Krishna and he'll take care of everything. That wouldn't be suitable. Choose your ashram, you know. So, etc. Let's say, here's another one. On Ekadasi day, there's two of them every month, and they're very special days. And on Ekadasi days, one should do two things. Increase hearing and chanting, and decrease attending to matters in relation to this body, like eating and sleeping. Minimize that and maximize the other. Increase the other. Yatarham, according to suitability. So what may be suitable for an uttama adhikari, a topmost realized soul, may not be suitable for me. I can do this, but I can't do that. There was a period of time in our New York temple when it was a trend. It was things that a number of us were doing. Was every Ekadasi, we observed Nirjal, not just, you know, Pandava Nirjal Ekadasi with no water and no food. Every Ekadasi. And it was really nice. And there was a new bhakta who, according to suitability, he tried, but it wasn't his suitability. So we found him in the walk-in refrigerator. He offered everything in the walk-in refrigerator, was just stuffing his mouth and stretched out on the floor of the walk-in refrigerator. It wasn't suitable for him to try that kind of renunciation. So that's another, according to suitability. But so it takes time and circumstance. It takes an understanding of one's situation. What is suitable? How much sleep do I need? How much, like we were speaking with some congregation member and their family, when the child and the family comes home to do their homework, they like to take a break. And, okay, taking a break, and so you can return, do refresh, but, you know, is it suitable to go do that, or is it better to do, you know, some hearing and chanting? What's suitable for your cultivation of Krishna consciousness and staying focused so when you go back to your homework, you're not, you know, dizzy, you're focused. What's suitable? And anyway, we each have our nature. So pada sevanam means engaging oneself in serving the lotus feet of the Lord according to time and circumstance. It requires some training, it requires some discretion, that rare commodity that sometimes it's hard to find. People have some common sense and understand, you know, this fits this situation and it doesn't fit that situation. A little common sense, according to time and circumstance. And in the section of the purport where Prabhupada is in detail describing padasevanam, that was just a little soundbite, he says that one obtains perfection of remembering, because that's hearing, chanting, remembering. So hearing, from hearing comes chanting. That which you hear. From hearing and chanting, remembrance. The perfection of remembrance comes when one constantly thinks of the lotus feet of the Lord, being intensely attached to thinking of the Lord's lotus feet. It's called padasevanam. I'm thinking to share with you a little section from Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Brihat Bhagavatamrita is a commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam that Sanatana Goswami compiled. And in that Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Narada Muni is on a quest, the first part. He's on a quest to discover who is the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. So a whole series of things happens. And one of those things is he encounters Prahlad Maharaj. He hears the glories of Prahlad Maharaj. So, zoom, zoom, off Narada goes to find Prahlad Maharaj. He finds Prahlad Maharaj. And he starts expressing how fortunate you are, how much you're the recipient of the Lord's mercy. It says right in the Bhagavatam that even the goddess of fortune, the Padasevanam specialist, has never experienced what you experienced. Lord Nrisimhadev placed his paw, his hand, on your head and patted your head. And by that patting you on the head, he enabled you to recite beautiful prayers. He appeared in a form that has never been seen before, even by the goddess of fortune or anyone else, just to fulfill the protection of you and at the same time not violate Lord Brahma's promise that I can't be killed by any man or beast. And all those other things that Hiranyakashipu wanted. He goes on and on and on describing the glories of Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad Maharaj is holding his ears, saying, "No, no. I just remember the Lord." But Hanuman, he's always serving the Lord. He's always with the Lord. Hanuman, go see Hanuman. And Narada's, "Yeah, I want to go see Hanuman." Because he's always, whenever you see the paintings of Hanuman and Sitaram, Lakshman, and Hanuman, what is Hanuman, where are his eyes? On the lotus feet of Ram. Service, yes. Service, padasevanam. Those lotus, and when he's, where's his mind? He's absorbed in the lotus feet of the Lord. That's Hanuman. When the ornaments that Sita had put in a cloth when she was being carried by Ravan in his pushpaka, in his chariot, she threw over the side on top of Rishimukh Mountain a cloth that had some ornaments. And when Lakshman was asked to identify them, he said, "I'm sorry, I can't identify them. I've never seen above Sita's feet. I don't know what the rest of her looks like. I only know what her feet look like." In reverence, the constant remembrance of the lotus feet, then serving those lotus feet according to time and circumstance, according to suitability. It's another stage. So here's some things the Prabhupada writes there. According to one's taste and strength, hearing and chanting and remembrance may be followed by padasevanam. So there's the qualifier. According to one's taste, so one may want to worship the deity, one may want to paint paintings, one may want to, there's so many different services. Go on Sankirtan, somebody may want to cook, whatever, you know, according to one's taste and strength. Hearing, chanting, and remembrance may be followed by padasevanam. One obtains the perfection of remembering when one constantly thinks of the lotus feet of the Lord. Being intensely attached to thinking of the Lord's lotus feet is called padasevanam. When one is particularly adherent to the process of padasevanam, this process gradually includes other processes, such as seeing the form of the Lord, touching the form of the Lord, circumambulating the form or temple of the Lord, visiting such places as Jagannath Puri, Dwaraka, and Mathura to see the Lord's form, and bathing in the Ganges and Yamuna, because that water has touched the lotus feet of the Lord. Bathing in the Ganges and serving a pure Vaishnava are also known as Tadiya Upasana. Upasana means worship. And here he says, this is also Padasevanam. The word Tadiya means, quote, in relationship with the Lord. Maybe you've noticed, those of you who have been to the Chicago Temple, Kishore Kishori at the middle altar, Gornatai at our left, and to our right are Lord Jagannath, Baladeva, and Subhadra. Down below, there is what looks like a Shila, but it's not. It's Tadiya, the Sringa Tadiya, a temple of Lord Nrisingadeva. It's taken from that temple of Lord Nrisingadeva. I don't know the history, but that's what our local historian Jitendriya told me. It's Tadiya, and confirmed by Shankar Pandit. Because Tadiya is also worshipable. Paraphernalia, just like the altar paraphernalia, that's Tadiya. The articles used in the worship of the deity. Tadiya. Tadiya means in relationship with the Lord. So, a Vaishnava, or Tulsi, or Ganges, or Jamuna are included in padasevanam. All of these processes help one advance in spiritual life very quickly. So when we do Tulsi Puja, or just water Tulsi, or say Tulsi prayers, and the other, I serve the devotees of the Lord, because the devotees are of the Lord, at the feet of the Lord. You serve those who are at the feet of the Lord, you're serving the feet of the Lord. Very logical. And the Lord accepts that service as service unto his lotus feet, those who are very dear to him. And then the next section is Archanam. What Prabhupada writes is, after Padasevanam comes the process of Archanam, or worship of the deity. Then whole section, and then Bandhanam, offering prayers to the deity. And Dasyam, and so forth. The nine processes. Prabhupada has written this in such a way that they're sequential. But as you just heard from this section, they're not buckets, and over in this bucket is this. It's not separated categorically, but there's a mixing to some degree. Padasevanam can include these other things that are mentioned to sound like Archanam. And then it comes to Archanam. And Archanam, part of Archanam is offering prayers, then there's another category, Vandanam. And that's all service, Dasyam. And then Rasa, Sakyam, and then Atmanivedanam, complete surrender to the personality of Godhead. Here's a lecture, one sentence from a lecture in New York, 1966, 26 Second Avenue. Prabhupada is mentioning Padasevana means. Some of you may be doing this. Rise early in the morning, open the door of the temple, and wipe it out. Clean it. All the dust. And give some light. You know, raise your hands and give some light, right? Just turn on the light because it's morning and make the light come on so that, you know, in your home, as done here in the temple, this is the procedure. You make the altar clean, turn on the light, say some prayers. This is part of Padasevana. There's a number of things, but I just go to the bottom. This is a room conversation where Prabhupada is explaining Padasevanam. If one has actually heard nicely, then he will speak nicely. Shravanam Kirtanam. Smaranam. Then consciousness will automatically develop because when you speak or you hear, unless your mind is concentrated, your consciousness is right, you cannot hear or speak. Shravanam Kirtanam. Smaranam. Padasevanam. And then the development. Quote, how shall I serve Krishna? Krishna is so loving. Krishna is so great. That automatically comes. Not silent, but activity. Padasevanam means that activity begins immediately. So from the reflective to the active state, just like those of you that know Bhagavad Gita, the last purport, last verse of chapter 6, where Krishna is describing the topmost form of yoga. First he's described all so many systems of yoga. Then he says, of all processes that are beneficial for elevation, by all means, Arjuna, become a yogi. And the best of all the forms of yoga, bhakti. Yogi nam, who knows the verse? Children? Yogi nam api sarvesha, you know the Srinidhi? No? Yogi nam api sarvesham, bhagyate nantaratmanam, shraddhavan bhajate yomam, samayukta tamo mataha. You know the verse? Can you say? Very good. Bet you learned that from your father. I mean, he helped you with your Bhagavad Gita study, no? You just on your own, you did it. He helped you. He pointed out which verses to learn. Okay. Good job. So, in that verse, Krishna is saying, yoginam api sarvesham, sarva, of all different forms of yoga, one is the uttama form of yoga, the topmost form of yoga, and that topmost form of yoga is shraddhavan bhajate yo mam. Shraddhavan, with faith. Bhajate. The Prabhupada explains in the purport. Bhaj, not the English bhaj, but the Sanskrit bhaj. B-H-A-J, that one. Bhaj. Is the root of bhakti. And bhaj indicates bringing the senses to sense objects and doing some practical activity. Note, that's very different than impersonalism that says, negate the senses, withdraw the senses, they're false. Bhaj or bhakti says the opposite. There's your senses, there's the sense objects. Engage the senses with sense objects in a mood of service unto the master of the senses. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. That's bhakti. Bhakti ruchate. Practical activity. is the emphasis, not a palpitation. Oh, I'm feeling bhakti. Can you help wash the pots? No, I'm feeling bhakti. I can't wash the pots. Practical activity. Feel palpitations in the pot room, please. Krishna's in the pot room too. Whatever practical service is needed, like Hanuman, that's bhakti. Ram wants the pots washed, okay, into the pot room. Ram wants you to go to Lanka and find Sita, yes. Whatever Ram wants. Whatever Ram wants. So that's bhakti and practical activity. There's feeling, but that the essence is that the devotion with which the activity is executed, not just so remembrance, that's also a form of devotional service prior to the practical activity. But when it's done properly, the remembrance leads to practical activity. Activity begins immediately, not silent, but activity. Padasevanam. Worshipping the lotus feet. Rendering service unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So that's kind of what we're all doing. As Prabhupada writes, according to one's taste and strength. Following the hearing and chanting and remembering, it just naturally follows that you want to do something for Krishna. He's made it so simple. How shall I serve Krishna? Krishna is so loving. Krishna is so great. Now what do you do with that? Oh, Krishna is so great. That's awe and reverence. Let me do something for him. Krishna supplied everything that I have, everything that I need. Let me do something for him. That feeling of wanting to do something for him carries one into action. Some practical activity of service. Under the regulations of sadhana bhakti or vaidhi sadhana bhakti, one does something for Krishna. That's padasevanam. And as mentioned, it spills over to deity worship. So why have we... I'm assuming that many of you live where all the rest of you live, and that's way out there in the suburbs. And why have you come all the way into this not so safe place called downtown St. Louis to gather together? It's this worship of the deity and the hearing and chanting and worshiping the Lord, honoring prasadam, hearing topics in relation to others about their spiritual efforts. This is our life in Krishna consciousness. Padasevanam is one of those elements. And deity worship is coming up next week. Stay tuned. Hare Krishna. Any discussion? You all have been letting me off very easy this visit so far. Not so much discussion. Okay. What's next on the schedule?
Some announcements.
Huh?
You just going to make some announcements.
Okay, some announcements is next on the schedule. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.